You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
KBOO is essential to our community. KBOO matters to you, and it matters to Cascadia and to the world. Right now, we are forced to confront many crises. We are forced to confront an increasing acceptance and promotion of fascism from the presidency on down. And we are confronting an ever-increasing, ever-widening climate crisis. To do this, we need real information. We need public affairs that tells it like it is. We need news that is perhaps the news you're not supposed to know. And for that, you need KBOO. Increasingly, you need KBOO. And I think you know that. So maybe you're already a KBOO contributor. I would like to ask you to consider adding another $5 a month. Most of our budget comes from you. By far. I'm talking about 70 or 80%. We do get some money from other sources, but we depend on you, and it should be that way, because that's how community radio works. All of the power dynamics of community radio come from the grassroots up, from the community up. That's what has kept KBOO KBOO for all these years. It's what kept KBOO KBOO. You can be a part of it. If you've never joined, this is a great time to do it, to make your decision that you are going to be part of the fight against climate change, part of the fight against fascism, part of the community moving together for a better world and doing what we can when we can. The time to do it is right now.
It's 10 a.m. and you're listening to the Jewish Hour on KBOO Portland. Gittin Morgan, Boker Tov, Buenos Dias, happy Labor Day weekend, good morning, and thanks for joining me today on the Portland Jewish Hour. I'm Liz Schwartz. Today we have a special radio play for you in celebration of Labor Day, a radio production of the program Debs in Canton about the acclaimed socialist and labor leader Eugene V. Debs in the days leading up to his famous speech in Canton, Ohio. This program was written and produced by Yale Strom and his wife Elizabeth Schwartz, and we thank them for allowing us to air it on our show. We hope you enjoy the story.
This is Debs in Canton, starring Phil Proctor and inspired by the documentary film American Socialist, The Life and Times of Eugene Victor Debs.
Train to Crawfordsville, Indianapolis, Greensburg, Cincinnati, boarding on track 6.
Gene, are you absolutely sure you can manage?
I am absolutely sure I can manage 2 days of bachelorhood. Now, don't worry about anything but yourself and Oscar. For the last time, are you sure? I can try to reschedule.
With the Canton rally coming up, don't you dare. And I am absolutely sure I can manage a bit of traveling on a train without an escort. My goodness. It's 1918, not the Dark Ages. I'm just so, well, I can't imagine what that poor little boy is going through. To lose a mother, now a home, come to live with an aunt and uncle he barely knows. I just hope that I can...
You can. If anyone can, it's you.
Well, yes, well, this just seems so odd, you seeing me off for a change. No, remember, the upstairs guest bedroom is already made up for Oscar, and there's a ham in the icebox. Oh, and some relish. You can make some sandwiches for yourselves and the others.
Last call
and,
for Cincinnati.
I know.
All aboard.
There's 2 pitchers of tea in the sideboard.
Oh.
Don't you worry. Up you go now.
Okay. Oh, and there's a pie in the cupboard. And I left your medicine on the nightstand so you can find it. 2 spoons at 5 o'clock. And please don't overexcite yourself, Gene.
I shall remain the very picture of calm and collected. I promise.
Goodbye.
Safe journey.
Them. Let's see what the big man has.
Let's see him, Gene.
Straight flush.
What?
Read him and weep, lads. Oh, my pop.
Come on. Wait. This guy.
Third win in a row?
Gene, if I didn't know you any better, I'd be checking your sleeves.
I'm no cheat of the working man, Bill, and you well know it. Let's see, looks like we have 57 cents going to the Railroad Workers Relief Fund. Theo, it's your deal.
Nuh-uh. I'll be taking this deal, thank you. Just to make sure the Debs boys aren't rigging the game, you understand?
You know my brother answers to a higher power, Bill Haywood. And the only rigging is...
of the system by the bosses.
All right, Bill, let's return to the subject of the IWW's position about this war.
You see, this is how you keep winning. You're deliberately distracting me. If I win this next hand, I'll be issuing an announcement of the International Workers of the World's official position against any further American intervention in the war. By the end of this week, and no later.
Bill, I need you to postpone any announcement, at least until we can come to unanimity among the Socialist Party's governing board.
We'll play the hands we're dealt, Gene. Cards?
Two.
Two cards to Debs the Younger. I don't tolerate any irregular declarations in cards or politics. The working men in the IWW know that it's strikes and slowdowns, not high-tone words, that make the gains. We're the ones making those tanks and cannons, and we control the manufacturing vital to mining, timber, and food production. Well, we'll tell them what's what. We need to be more aggressive, that's all. Hone?
Three cards, please. Well, if I may point out, as mayor of Milwaukee, it is my sworn duty to represent every citizen in my city, regardless of whether they support the war or not. Now, you know, some of these folks are good, decent, patriotic people who love their country. Their sons are being sent off to places they've never even heard of. Gene, You know I support the cause. I'm a proud socialist, and let's not forget that that's who the good constituents of Milwaukee voted for.
Well, it seems to me we're sitting here in Terre Haute, Indiana, Mr. Mayor. You're worrying about the constituents of one city when we ought to be talking about the entire nation.
Every single one of my constituents is an American, same as you or I. I didn't come all this way to argue with you, Bill, nor did I come to play poker. Look, I came to deliver this message. Gene, you have to think of the party. Live to fight another day.
He who fights and runs away? If we put the health of the party over the health of the people who comprise the party, well, that seems to be racing towards paradox. Daniel, does it not? One card, Bill, if you please. Daniel? Bill makes a good point.
Allow me to literally put in my two cents. Gene, the next step you take could alter the course of our party's future.
I call 3 cents. Daniel, President Woodrow Wilson's patented version of patriotism started years ago with his preparedness parades. I mean, these parades do exactly what they're intended to do, promote the buildup of militarism and gloss over the reality of war. The board may decide we can't stand idly by and watch the carnage that will ensue.
You want to wait for the board's unanimity, and that's all well and good. But every man sitting here, and every man on that board, knows who the people listen to. You are the leader of the Socialist Party of America. You're the one we look to, but more, you are the public face of the entire movement. The board will agree with whatever you decide.
I fold.
I raise 10 cents. You're in for it now, Gene.
Oh, 10 cents, huh? And another 10.
Oh. I'm out, too. This war isn't simply a socialist issue, Gene.
It is, until the capitalists and bosses send their own sons to fight it. Bill?
You're bluffing. I can feel it. I can smell it. Here's your 10.
All in.
Damn it. I fold. All right, show 'em.
I got nothing.
Eugene Victor Debs, you're a scoundrel and a bluff.
I am certain I am many things to many people, Big Bill Haywood, but I'm no bluff. This pot will go to the IWW Pension Fund, and you'll put off your announcement.
Gene, you won fair and square, for now. But mark my words, I'm getting the boys into this. We're going to strike all over this nation.
When we reach unanimity. Comrades, I... Ow! Oh!
Gene, hey. What is it?
Oh!
Are you all right?
Blasted lumbago!
Oh.
Ow, my back! Theo, my medicine. Upstairs.
In the bathroom?
Yes. No. My nightstand.
Brother Debs, are you okay? Here, let me help you.
Ooh.
What can I do? Come, lie down on the sofa. There you go.
Oh, thanks, Bill. I just forgot to take my medicine earlier. With Kate gone, I...
Here, drink this, Gene. Better?
Thank you, Theo. I will be soon. Daniel, I'll look forward to seeing you at the end of the month. Bill, will I see you in Canton?
I'll be sorry to miss it, but I got business to attend to in Seattle. We'll talk real soon. You take care. We'll show ourselves out.
You rest up, Gene.
Theo, stay.
Pard, what's on your mind?
Well, old Pard, I'll tell you. What's on my mind is you, me, and a serious conversation with a bottle, two glasses, and a sawdust floor. Help me up.
To the proletariat.
Votre santé. Gentchen.
Hard. I know that look. We've been battling the Bolsheviks for the heart of the party. We've been battling the Ku Klux Klan and the bosses, battling the press. But you look like you're itching for more. You're not a young man anymore.
Oh, is that so? Little brother, soon as I finish this glass, don't think I won't serve you the most glorious hide tanning you've ever had.
I'm serious, Gene. It's just us here. It's hard for me to say this, but you need to slow down. How long do you think you can go on if you don't get some rest?
And what?
Maybe Hone's position is the correct one for now. Look what happened to Kate O'Hare, put into prison just that fast for stating she was against the war. She's small fry compared to you. You're pushing yourself hard. It's another thing to push Wilson. He'd love to get his hooks into you.
Listen, we're at war, Theo. And not just in Europe. I don't have the luxury of lying on my back as the working man is brought to his knees. There's too much at stake. And if that means the old lumbago wants to complain a bit, that seems like a small price to pay.
Did it ever occur to you that your back may not like that big target painted on it? Could be it's not suited to carry an entire movement all on its own.
Oh, Theo, I need your help. To signal Elias for another round.
Gene.
No more talk of politics for the rest of the night, agreed?
Hey, you Victor Debs... I'm not drunk. Leave off. I said, are you Victor Debs?
That's right. What can I do for you, gentlemen?
Now, just a minute, fellas.
I've been a railroad man all my life. I got this bum knee laying track in 1892. I was on the Pullman strike in 94. You remember that? You led it, and we lost.
Well, I tell that story with a few more chapters, but yeah, we lost.
Well, me and my nephew here come over to tell you. We want to buy you a drink. We lost that one, but we never would have held out like we did hadn't Eugene Victor Debs himself led us.
Have a seat, brothers. Call me Gene.
I'm Bill, sir.
How do, Bill? Have a seat. Allow me to introduce my brother, Theo.
Bill, how do?
Hi, Theo.
Now, Billy, you go right over there next to Mr. Debs. You're getting the seat of honor tonight.
Oh.
Elias, set us up. Name's Pat. Pleased to make your acquaintance.
I long to see my mother in the doorway.
Hey, Mom.
As she stood there years ago, her boys agreed.
Come here, boy.
Oh, the moonlight's fair tonight along the Wabash. Far away.
Not bad.
Do
another drink. So, listen, Gene. You're all right. And, you know, tonight's a,
a celebration.
Oh.
Yeah, because we're all proud of our Bill here. Yeah, my sister Dot's boy, he's a good lad.
Well then, congratulations, Bill. What's the occasion?
Thanks, Mr. Debs.
Gene!
Thanks, Mr. I mean, Gene. Boys will never believe me when I tell them I spent my last night with you.
Your last night?
He's gonna enlist first thing tomorrow. Our Bill here's gonna do us proud over there. Hey, Bill, how many crowds you think you're gonna bring down?
wait a moment, Bill. You're enlisting?
No selective service in our family. We're fighting men. If those krauts want to monkey with America, then we'll give a swift kick to Kaiser Wilhelm right at the front and in his royal rear. Yeah, we're defending the American way, and our Bill's just the man to do it.
Defending the American way? Well, what way is that? Bill,
huh?
I must ask you before it's too late. What are you fighting for?
Freedom. You know, freedom from tyranny. The Reds and Russia and such. There's babies starving and babies dying.
Gene, what happened to no more politics tonight?
My boy, listen to me. We're at greater risk from the Rockefellers and the Morgans than we are from an old Kaiser all the way on the other side of the globe. There is a greater fight for freedom right here on your own doorstep. There are better ways to serve your country.
What did you just say? What the hell did you just say?
All right, just sit back down, Pat.
Bill, think about it. There's still time to reconsider. If you went tomorrow to the corner of Tippecanoe and Liberty, you see gut-wrenching poverty right here in Terre Haute. According to the United States government's own reports, two-thirds of Americans today are below a standard of decent living. Working Americans! These cries of patriotism are meant to dupe young boys like you to...
Listen to this bastard, Billy. He's a damn Bolshevik liar. And as for you, Debs, you're filling this lad's head with a bunch of nonsense, saying we're fools and such. Why, I ought to give you what...
All right, take a step back now. Gene, you move on behind me.
Friend, I never said you were a fool, and I never would. You're a good man trying to do the right thing, but I can't say the same for those hawks who think nothing of sending your nephew here like a dumb lamb to the slaughter. And if you don't see... Gene! I'm all right.
Uncle Pat, you didn't need to hit him.
Elias, throw this bum out.
Stay down. You just stay down.
Hey, let me go. Hands off me. Get your hands
off me. No. Look what they've got us doing. We're fighting each other instead of them. It's all right, Elias. You can let Pat go.
You're lucky my brother is Christian and knows how to turn the other cheek.
Well, only one is bleeding at the moment. Give me your handkerchief and help me up.
Mr. Debs, I'm awful sorry.
Well, I ain't.
He's just worried for me.
It's all right, Bill. It's not your fault, and it's not even your uncle's fault. He thought I was implying that you were stupid and couldn't think for yourself, and that is the furthest thing from my intention. He's right. You're a good lad. You have decency and a code of honor, which is more than I can say for the current occupant of the White House. Your uncle has good reason to be worried for you.
Wait, what?
But I stand by everything I said. The working class have never yet had a voice in declaring war. If war is right, let it be declared by the people, the ones risking their own lives. As for the capitalists and munitions manufacturers, they want us arguing with each other, so we don't argue with them. So let us shake hands, Pat, and commit an act of civic and political protest.
Hey, sorry about your jaw. We square?
We are. And now, gentlemen, I bid you good night. Bill, your uncle's a good man, and so are you. Please consider what I said. In fact, please think carefully about everything you hear.
I will, sir.
Theo, let me lean on you a bit.
Are you...
Yes, I'm all right to walk home.
When Kate comes home and sees your face, you know I'll wind up getting the blame.
Well, if that boy stays home tomorrow, we'll both have made the good sacrifice, brother.
Just remind me of that once she sees your face.
Jean, sorry to barge in, but I just heard over the wire service and came right over.
Upton, come in. What's wrong?
I just got this direct from Washington. They passed the Sedition Act.
It's done? Are you absolutely certain?
Wilson's signing it today. Do you understand what this means? The Socialist Party can't take any formal position against the war.
I've got to get word to Kate O'Hare. It's been 8 months since she was sent to Jefferson City for speaking out against the war. Wilson and his cronies just killed our chance of overturning her conviction. Governor Gardner's a Democrat. He'll never buck the party. Theo!
Yes, Jean?
Telegraph the warden in Jefferson City, schedule a visit for me to see Kate O'Hare, and book train tickets.
All right. Jean, it's 5 o'clock. I have your medicine.
Yes, bring it in. And Upton, thank you for being the one to bring the news.
Jean, think for a moment. Think about yourself, for once. If you speak out against the war, they'll make a martyr out of you. The party may or may not be strong enough to survive this fight. And my friend, with all due respect, you need to think about whether or not you are.
There'd be no war today if mothers all would say I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
Kate! Oh, what in blazes?
Oh, you found Oscar's hoop. Thank you. We were looking for that.
Oh, my dear. I got so caught up, I forgot all about, everything. Mm-hmm. Please forgive me.
I had already hired a hansom to bring us home from the station. I knew you'd be at the hall. And I just put him to bed. We better keep our voices low. And when's the last time you ate?
I don't, did I eat today?
Yeah, I assumed as much. I already have the last of those mushrooms you picked last week frying in butter. Every man should enjoy the fruits of his labors. Get the plates.
Merci à Dieu.
Amen.
I met a young man last night planning to enlist. I tried to appeal to his better judgment.
Ah, I wondered where you got that shiner. Huh. I know you don't like for me to fuss, but I consider it a particular kindness if you would let me look at it.
After supper, dearest. I vow to submit myself to the gentle ministrations of my bunny bride. I had a very interesting conversation this morning with Robert Nelson about the Negro man and enlistment. I'd like to get your opinion.
Mm-hmm. Jean, aren't you going to ask?
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry. How was your journey?
Well, my journey was untroubled. The train was comfortable. There were no delays in either direction. As far as I am concerned, it went perfectly well.
Good.
Of course, I'm not a 10-year-old boy who just lost his mother and whose father can't care for him, so his aunt wrenched him from the only home he's ever known and brought him back to a strange house and life. I imagine if I were that boy, the journey would not have gone as well. More potatoes, dear.
That poor lad.
The ladies and I finished 4 more pieces of fancy work well ahead of the church fundraiser. This means we'll be able to put in for all the supplies necessary for our own Hull House. We hope to see no more desperate immigrant women forced into that Tenderloin district.
Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. I would that Congress read their Ezekiel. I'm sorry for the cause, but glad you're making progress. Anyone who didn't know you would think you were changing the subject.
I am not changing the subject, just explaining why we'll be busy. I'll be meeting with the committee tomorrow, in fact.
Well, what can I do to...
Well, I'm quite gratified to hear you ask, because while I am at church, you will be taking your nephew fishing.
Tomorrow? Theo is coming over. I'm still drafting the Canton speech.
Eugene Victor Debs... Matthew 18, verse 5.
And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose a little respite won't... Oh, where are the...
The fishing rods? They're in the shed, dear. Right where you left them last time. Now, why don't you go upstairs, dear? I'll clean up the kitchen, and then we'll see to that eye. No sense in frightening the horses, or for that matter, any children.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Portland Jewish Hour, featuring the radio play Debs in Canton about labor leader Eugene V. Debs. And you're finding us on 90.7 FM KBOO in Portland, 91.9 FM in Hood River, 104.3 FM in Philomath, and all over the planet at KBOO.FM. If you'd like to hear the story in its entirety, the audio for today's show will be posted on the Jewish Hour site, KBOO.FM/Portland Jewish Hour, and it will be available for you to stream at your convenience. Let's get back to the story.
Sure you don't want to try it all, Oscar? Cast off like I showed you?
No, I don't know how to fish.
Well, that's all right. You don't have to do anything. When I was your age, I learned to fish right on this very spot. In fact, this is the best spot on the entire Wabash River for yellow perch. Now, let's see if we can't bring home dinner. You sure you don't want to give it a try?
No, I mean, yes.
Aha. I'll never forget the first time I came here and caught sight of the Mighty One.
The Mighty One?
The Mighty One is the grandfather of all fish. Back then, he was only about 5 foot long. You can see where he churned up the water, right there in the middle. I imagine he's even grown a bit since those days. Back then, I thought I'd try my hand at catching him. But he's a crafty bastard. He's a crafty one. Don't say bastard. Crafty and big, I might add. Rumor had it that his grandfather was part whale. Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing almost exactly where you are now. The Mighty One breached and slapped his tail, soaked us to the bone, all the way from the middle of the river. That was his way of laughing at us, you see?
It's not polite to laugh at someone.
That's exactly what I said at the time. Never had much luck catching him since. Of course, I heard he was attracted to yellow hair, and mine was dark back in those days. Back when I had some.
I have yellow hair, Mr. Jean.
What? That's right, Oscar, you do. How about that? You know, I have a lucky feeling. Today might be the day. Go on, try casting off like I showed you. Nicely done. You know what? Stand a little closer to the water. Maybe he'll catch sight of that hair, and we can draw him out. And call me Uncle Gene.
Maybe I should take off my cap, Uncle Gene. I'll see my head better.
That's a smart idea, Oscar. Let's try it and see what happens.
Uncle Gene, when am I going home?
Well, you know, your father has to get better so he can help take care of you. But your Aunt Kate and I are very happy to have you with us until then. While you're here, our home is your home for as long as you like.
But how long? How long until Papa gets better?
Well, there's no way of knowing exactly. Losing someone is different for each of us, Oscar. We all have to do what's needed so we can help ourselves and the ones we love. But your Papa loves you so much. I wouldn't be surprised if the thought of being with you doesn't help him get better all the faster. I know I still miss my own beloved Mama terribly, as I know you do yours.
Uncle Gene, it's pulling too hard.
Why? I think your hair's working. That's it, Oscar. Pull him in. At long last, the Mighty One has met his match. Steady. Feel the reel.
It's the Mighty One. It really is. Uncle Gene, he's too strong. Ah!
Whoa. Oh. You all right, son? Just take my hand and I'll pull you out. You'll dry off in the sun. Don't let go of that rod, though.
It broke!
Well, that's just the line, and that's fine. Because this is momentous, Oscar. This is the Mighty One's way of accepting you as a worthy opponent. There you are. Now, let's get that line hooked up again. We'll stay on the old fella like Inspector Javert. All right, cast off again.
Who's Inspector
Javert. Inspector Javert from Les Misérables. Oh, don't you know that book? Oh, when I was just about your age, my father read it to me for the first time. Oh, you're in for a treat. I'll find my copy as soon as we get home. We can start reading it tonight.
But who is he?
Well, he's the chief of police in the story. You see, there's a man named Jean Valjean, and he goes to prison for stealing bread for his starving sister and her family. They sentence him to almost 20 years.
For stealing bread?
Well, whenever times are hard and people watch their children go hungry, they grow desperate. They may do things they ordinarily wouldn't do to help their children. And there are other people who have never gone to bed hungry a day in their lives. Some even have so much bread, they can't eat it all and they let it rot. But if a hungry man were to think it was okay to have any of that bread for his children, he might get the idea that it's okay to have something they do care about. So, yes, 20 years. Jean Valjean did escape prison for a long time, but Inspector Javert never gave up on searching for him. He wanted to punish Valjean, no matter what, even though Valjean helped people. Javert haunted his life and never stopped hunting him down like a dog.
Uncle Jean, I don't want to catch the Mighty One. I don't want to be like that inspector.
I don't suppose you do. There, my boy. It's all right. You know what? I have never particularly wanted to be like Javert either. What say we let the Mighty One live another day? Let's pack up and go home. Your aunt's famous fried perch can wait.
Okay. Uncle Jean, what's a bastard?
All right, Theo. Read that back.
There is but one thing that you have to be concerned about, and that is that you keep four square with the principles of the International Socialist Movement. It is only when you begin to compromise that trouble begins. So far as I am concerned, it does not matter what others may say or think or do, as long as I am sure that I am right with myself and the cause. There are so many who seek refuge in the popular side of a great question. On account of that, I hope as a socialist I have long since learned how to stand alone.
That works, I think. What do you think?
What do I think? For pity's sake, Jean, it's 2 a.m. I stopped thinking hours ago.
Oh, you're doing admirably. We're making great progress.
And we'll continue to make great progress. But I promised Gertrude I'd come with her to pick out the new icebox in a little under 7 hours. And by gum, I shall. I'm exhausted, Jean. You're exhausted. Now I'm going home. With any luck, my understanding wife has not barred the door. Listen to me, brother. You're working yourself to the bone, and you're taking me with you. I will not abet in the destruction of your health.
Oh, come on, pard. One more paragraph?
My bed is 10 minutes away. Yours is closer. Get upstairs and go to sleep.
Hey, how long will it take to get that icebox?
Until 9 a.m. on Monday morning. See you then.
Yes, dear, I'll go.
You've hardly slept.
I'm already up. I'm here, Oscar. It's Uncle Jean.
Mama! Mama! I had a bad dream.
That's all it was. And you're awake now. And I'm here. Shall I read some more to you?
My mama used to sing me to sleep. Do you know Hello, Frisco?
Well, maybe Your Aunt Kate knows that one. I have one. Do you know this? You will eat by and by in that glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die.
You can't live on hay.
Well, that's right, you can't. Unless you're a horse. If you fight hard for children and wife, try to get something good in this life. You're a sinner and bad man, they tell. When you die, you will sure go to hell.
Like Jean Valjean? Is this a song about him?
Now that you mention it, Oscar, I suppose it is.
I think I want to go to sleep now. Will you stay until I fall asleep?
Close your eyes. You will eat by and by in that glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die.
Warden said to give you 15 minutes, Mr. Debs, not a minute more.
And I'm very grateful. Please tell him that his permitting me to visit Mrs. O'Hare is appreciated. I wonder if I might have a few minutes to visit with Mrs. Emma Goldman while I'm here?
Goldman's in the infirmary. No visitors.
What's wrong with her? Is she receiving adequate care?
15 minutes, and I'll be back to bring you out.
Mr. Debs, it's really you. Oh, it is so good to see you. Please, come and sit down and tell me everything. We don't get much news from outside in here. Excuse me.
Mrs. O'Hare, tell me how you are faring.
I'm fine. Please, call me Katie.
Jean. Katie. I don't know whether you've heard...
That there's no chance for my appeal. Well, you know, that good news was presented by the warden himself.
We're not defeated yet. What can I do?
Jean, you can tell people what it's like in here. The people don't know what these women endure. Four to a cell, and the cells are filthy. So no one sleeps much, and the women get sick. The air is... quite foul. I've already written to Governor Gardner asking for him to come and view our conditions, of course. Though the warden's his brother, so I'm not sure he will.
Have you been to the infirmary? How is Emma Goldman?
Oh, Emma and I are fighters. We've seen worse. We'll manage. But there are plenty of women in here just for being poor. Or for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're being broken. They're the ones who need your help. Perhaps Upton Sinclair might write something for the appeal to reason. I doubt the people know what they're doing to us in here, but not for me and Emma. Let the people know it'll take more than this to silence us. She and I talk to the others to keep their spirits up and tell them that we can each of us work for a better world. I believe it helps them.
I'll speak to Upton. You'll get your story.
That's the best medicine. Also, if it's not too much to ask, could you get word to my husband Frank and our children? Especially my kids. I'm not sure how to explain to them why I'm not home, taking care of them like a mother should.
Katie, you're in here because of two things. An oppressive oligarchy that seeks to silence its critics, and your conscience, which refuses to be silenced. Your children will understand. You can't think about that now.
No, not now. That's what the nighttime is for. You know, when we talk about making sacrifices for the cause, we forget that it's not just our own sacrifice. My children are paying just as much as I, and I just hope they can forgive me. I just want my boy to understand that I did this so he won't be sent off to fight a war that has no purpose. I want him to grow tall and work hard and have a decent life and know the real fight is here at home.
I'm speaking in Canton on Sunday. I've been debating with the party whether to make a national anti-war declaration. Seeing you here and thinking of your bravery sways me deeply.
Jean, you mustn't. Please, please don't. I am not brave. I'm not. Oh, my beliefs haven't changed one jot. If this is the price I have to pay to try and stop this war, then I'm willing to do it. But Jean, look at me. Look, I came in here strong and healthy. Prison changes you, and they know it. That's why they throw us in here. They want us weak. They want us limping out of here, unable to jump on a soapbox. Jean, if they did this to me, what do you think they'll do to you? They want you to violate the Sedition Act. They want to put you somewhere much worse than here. If they do, will it have been worth it to follow your conscience? I'm sorry. I shouldn't be so negative. You're our leader. People need you. We all need you. I just want to make the world better, and I hope my children will forgive me for it. I truly am so happy to see you. Eugene Victor Debs. Your visit means so much to me. I'll tell Emma you're fighting for us. I'll tell all the girls.
Time! That's it, O'Hare. Get up. Let's go.
Tell the comrades to go on with my work and all will be well. Love and kisses to my darlings. And Jean, please don't think I'm weak.
Katie, you may be the strongest person I know.
Theo, I'm so glad you're here. He's in the parlor. He's just sitting in there. He won't even let me light the lamps.
Is it his back?
No, it's deeper than that. He's not sleeping that well. He's been brooding since he got back from visiting Kate O'Hare. Maybe a party this evening isn't the best idea. We could cancel. We should.
No, we shouldn't. The comrades want to see him off before he leaves for Canton. You can't cancel it. Let me talk to him. Pard? What's this I hear about you not sleeping?
Oh, I'm fine, old Pard. I'm just sitting and cogitating.
Let me turn on a lamp. You know, the boys are on their way, and I can already smell that Kate's been cooking up a storm. Gertrude's made four of those Larkin shrimp bakes you like so much, and I heard the church group's made enough cakes to feed all the boys at the Somme. What are you sitting here for? Let's go get ready.
You want me to smile and dine on cakes and ale while Kate O'Hare and other brave women, I mean, what about Rose Pastor Stokes, Emma Goldman? They are suffering in such grievous conditions. Shall I gorge myself on Larkin shrimp bake while they're on prison rations?
Now you listen to me, brother. This isn't just about you. It's for them and everyone who has been working hard and sacrificing and feeling exactly as you do about every injustice and indignity we're battling. It's not to deny and pretend we're not at war. It's to remind ourselves that this fight is a good fight, and we are comrades. It's esprit de corps. Do you think any soldier at the front doesn't have moments of levity and camaraderie with his brothers in arms? Now, your brothers in arms want to see you off in style, and by God, you're going to let them. Pull your carcass out of that chair, or I'll do it for you. I see that made you smile.
It's the thought that you believe, even in this state, that I couldn't tan your hide. Aside from that, brother, I cannot deny that every word you spoke rings true.
Jean, before the fellows come over, Oscar has something for you. Go on, Oscar.
Uncle Jean, Aunt Kate's been helping me with something, and...
All right, Oscar. Just like we practiced.
Long-haired preachers come out every night. Try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer with voices so sweet. You will eat by and by in that glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die. If you fight hard for your children and wife, try to get something good in this life. You're a sinner and a bad man, they tell. When you die, you will sure go to hell. You will eat by and by in that glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die.
Working men of all countries unite. Side by side, we for freedom will fight. When the world and its wealth we have gained, to the grafters we'll sing this refrain. You will eat by and by, when you've learned how to cook and to fry. Chop some wood, 'twill do you good, and you'll eat in the sweet by and by. And you'll eat in the sweet by and by.
Bravo! That was wonderful. Oh, come here, Oscar. Oh, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You should be proud of yourself for learning all that. Now, I heard something about some lark and shrimp bake. Shall we go together and see?
Yes, oh. Let's.
Come on. Take my hand.
Are you packed?
Well, all I need is a clean shirt and my speech. Thank you for my party.
Oh. It's a beautiful speech, Jean. When I read it, I wasn't sure what you would say. I admit to feeling afraid.
I know. I shan't stay long.
Oscar will be happy to hear that. He's grown quite attached to you.
Kate, I know that heaven didn't bless us with our own, but perhaps this is his way of giving us a child to love as if we had been. I've always fought hard for justice for every American, and I like to think that in so doing, I've sympathized with the fears and needs of fathers and mothers. Now, when I think of Oscar being one of those lads shipped off as cannon fodder, I see there was a difference between me and someone like Kate O'Hare. And I can't quite shake myself of this feeling that I must fight harder and better without fear of the consequences, in spite of my fear. You know, as I've been reading Les Misérables to him, I understand Valjean all the more. Oscar is my Cosette. This book isn't just about justice now. Now I feel it's about me. Kate, promise me.
I will keep reading it to him until you come home. Jean, I love you.
And I, you, my bonny bride.
A half hour to go, and that crowd is already fired up for you, Jean. You have everything you need.
Yes, thank you. I'll just take a moment, if you don't mind.
Why don't you close your eyes for a few minutes? I just want to double-check the platform is set for you. I'll put out some water in a glass in case you need it. And as expected, the boys said the Justice Department goons are here. Make sure you stick to this speech. no commentary. There are government stenographers out there waiting to write down every word you say, and if they can take one in the worst way, they will.
I know, brother. Believe me, it's all I've been thinking about. Awake me in 10 minutes, and in case I don't say it enough, merci, mon frère. Je t'aime. Au part.
Well, you're welcome. You've picked a heck of a time to tell me. But I love you too, Pard.
Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act.
It is my sworn duty to represent every citizen in my city, regardless of whether they support the war or not. Now, you know, some of these folks are good, decent, patriotic people who love their country. Their sons are being sent off to places they've never even heard of.
Mark my words, I'm getting the boys into this. We're going to strike all over this nation. We'll stop all shipping of military weapons right at the docks. The time has come to hit where it hurts and put a big hole in their pockets.
The party may or may not be strong enough to survive this fight. You need to think about whether or not you are.
You're our leader. We all need you. I just want to make the world better, and I hope my children will forgive me for it.
You are the leader of the Socialist Party of America. You're the one we look to, but more, you are the public face of the entire movement.
I just want my boy to understand that I did this so he won't be sent off to fight a war that has no purpose. I want him to grow tall and work hard,
Jean,
and have a decent life,
Jean,
and know the real fight is here at home.
It's time.
Thank you, Theo. I'm ready.
Comrades, friends, and fellow workers, as I stand here today, I can see there are some here who would like me to studiously avoid the topic of the war entirely. That's the speech I'm holding in my right hand, in fact. Now, I know there are Department of Justice agents and American Protective League volunteers among us today. They are checking individuals for their draft cards. In addition, there are government stenographers who have been hired by the U.S. Attorney General for Northern Ohio to record every word I am saying. They believe by silencing me, they can silence the movement. By silencing me, they can cover up a terrible crime perpetrated against the American working man and his family. Those who are most favored by battle are never those who go to fight it. And it occurs to me that this speech in my hand is not what I am going to say to you now.
Gene, don't!
The war profiteers are not the only ones who don't fight themselves. Surely our children aren't sent to the front. No, they are kept safe right here in a nation where children are kept safe to work under perilous conditions and long hours for pennies. Kept safe as their immigrant parents are preyed upon by an unchristian and unwelcoming nation. Kept safe as their brave mothers and fathers languish in prison for the crime of trying to feed and protect them. Kept safe as their fathers return from battle broken. That is, if they return at all. Is not every single one of these children the future of our movement and the heart and soul of our nation? It is for the sake of every child throughout this great country of ours that I say this.
Free all political prisoners now!
Do the barons of Wall Street go to war?
Hell no, never!
The master class has always declared the wars. The subject class has always fought the battles. The master class has had all to gain and nothing to lose, while the subject class
has had nothing to gain and all to lose, especially their lives. They are continually talking about your patriotic duty. It is not theirs, but your patriotic duty that they are concerned about. There is a decided difference. Their patriotic duty never takes them to the firing line or chucks them into the trenches. When Wall Street says war, the press says war, and the pulpit promptly follows with its amen. In every age, the pulpit has been on the side of the rulers and not on the side of the people. When we unite and act together on the industrial field, and when we vote together on election day, we shall develop the supreme power of the one class that can and will bring permanent peace to the world. We shall then have industrial democracy. We shall be a free nation whose government is of and by and for the people.
Dibs for president!
We socialists are the builders of the beautiful world that is to be. We are all pledged to proclaim the emancipation of the working class and the brotherhood of all mankind. And we won't do that by fighting their wars for them, by paying for their profits with the blood of our sons.
That's the way, Gene. You tell them.
Gene, they're coming. Where's your warrant? I want to see your warrant. Gene! Get your hands off him!
Eugene Victor Debs. By order of the Department of Justice, I am placing you under arrest for violating the Espionage Act of 1917. You know the drill. Don't make this any harder than it needs to be.
Brothers and sisters, don't give them the excuse. And don't fear for me.
Shut it, Debs. Let's go.
Not so rough. Can't you see he's cooperating? Stop! Don't push him! Gene!
It was on June 16th of 1918 that Eugene Victor Debs was arrested for violating the Espionage Act. And as he knew they would, they did make an example of him. He was sentenced to 10 years in the federal penitentiary in Atlanta for sedition. They limited his mail and visits, but Aunt Kate and I visited as often as they'd let us. It hurt her to see how much his health was failing, but he'd always smile and reassure her that he was doing just fine. And he'd sing with me. And the other prisoners loved him. He taught many of them to read, and I imagine a few of them learned all about Jean Valjean because of Uncle Jean. President Harding pardoned him after 3 years, but prison had already taken a toll on his health. He never fully recovered. Uncle Jean passed away on October 20th, 1926. Before he died, we went fishing on the Wabash. He mostly watched me do the fishing while he laughed and joked about the Mighty One. I figured by then we both knew who that really was. It's been many years since I taught my own son to fish on that same spot along the Wabash River. And every time we go, well, I tell him about Uncle Gene, and we keep an eye out for the Mighty One. He's still out there, and I do believe that one day we'll find him again.
I say now that while there is a lower class, I am in it. And while there is a criminal element, I am of it. And while there is a soul in prison, I am not free. Thank you.
That was Debs in Canton, written by Elizabeth Schwartz and Yale Strom. Inspired by the documentary film American Socialist, The Life and Times of Eugene Victor Debs. Starring Phil Proctor as Eugene Victor Debs, with Melinda Peterson, Robert Fass, P.J. Oakland,
L.J. Gasser. This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, Community Radio.
Hi, my name is Selena, and I'm a KBOO volunteer board operator. I'd like to give a shout-out to Ray and Sonia, who both trained me to be a